Blog Talk Radio.
There's a place dear to me where I'm longing to be with my friends at the old country church. There with mother we went and our Sundays were spent with my friends at the old country church.
Precious years of memory. Oh, what joy,
oh, what joy
they bring to me.
They bring to me.
How I long
once more to be with my friends at the old country church. As a small country boy, how my heart beat with joy when I knelt in the old country church. And the Savior above, by His wonderful love, saved my soul in the old country church.
Precious years of memory. Oh, what joy
they bring to me.
How I long
once more to be with my friends at the old country church. My thoughts make me weep, for so many now sleep in their graves near the old country church. And sometime I may rest with the friends I love best in a grave near the old country church.
Precious years of
memory.
Oh, what joy
they bring to me. With my friends at the old country church.
Well, good evening, everyone. And greetings in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, once again, we thank you for another day. We thank you for another time, Father, that we can open your word and come together to share and to grow with each other, to be of support and to be used, Father, according to your will and your way. We ask you, Father, to use us, each one, to reach out to those around about us that are walking in darkness. Give us the knowledge and the wisdom, Father, to be able to help them to walk from darkness to light, and that light being the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, Father, I'm asking you to stay with us throughout the remainder of this service. And once again, we give praise, honor, and glory unto the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's in that sweet, precious name of Jesus that we pray. Amen. All right. I got a little something before I get into our message I want to share with you. You know, I'm watching quite a bit of pastors on TV right now, and I'm learning a whole lot about why we're in the condition we're in. But I'm also learning that they are more and more now that are beginning to repent of the way they have been doing and coming back to the Word of God. But we still got those that likes to start their service by standing up and beginning with a joke. Do you know the scripture tells us never to do that? It sure does. Scripture tells us to not let jesting be named once among us. That word jesting, that means to be joking or using frivolous words. But yet they start every service out with some kind of what they consider a funny joke. But without God is not a funny joke, and there's a whole lot of truth in it. And I'll be reading it to you. Because I was reading in a book, and that's where I read it. And I want to share that with you. Because there's a whole lot of truth in this. As I was reading this page, I run into this saying. It says, yesterday is history. Tomorrow is a mystery. Today is a gift. And that's why we call it the present. So you have yesterday, tomorrow, today, and the present. So that's why we call it a present. So I was impressed by these words and their significance. It's been stated that tomorrow never comes. It always turns into today. It is also true that yesterday never returns. That's why today is such a blessing if we use it rightfully, or such a curse if used wrongly. If someone told you that a present was waiting for you at the post office, what would you expect to see? A new set of lawn furniture? A Bible? Perhaps $1 million inheritance? Maybe you'd expect nothing more than a thinking of you card and a letter from a dear friend. In John 3:16, the greatest present of all is laid out in simple terms. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Goes on here and says, this is ready for us to receive today. Have is in the present sense. Could it be, dare we hope, the Son of God, everlasting life now? We better be living in hope that we are living with him now. God is waiting, calling, pleading for each one of us to receive this most precious present. To do so, we must repent of our sins and yield ourselves to him in deep humility and gratitude. This present will empower us to speak kind words, witness for the Lord, be rich in good works, do what is truly profitable, and live each moment in a close walk with God. Knowing that tomorrow may never come, we may be called into eternity at any time. May we fully enjoy the blessing of the present, this present every day. And of course, the present he's talking about is the present of the Lord Jesus Christ, which is the greatest present you and I have ever been given. But we lose track so much of the time of what we really have, because we look at the things of the world out here and we find more things that we want. And most of the things that you and I will want today we don't really need. We were put here for a purpose. We were put here to get ready to be reconciled back to God. But we think that we need everything this world out here has got to offer. I want the biggest and the best of automobiles. Now, I don't cheat cars. I just won't do it. I want that Lincoln Continental. I couldn't afford to run it. But we want things we don't really need. All we really need is a place to stay that could be in a tent under a tree. Well, that's where they used to stay. Most everybody stayed in the tent. In fact, all Israel, that's the way they traveled. They spent 40 years in the desert living in tents. But that won't do for us today, will it? We got to have the best. I want the prettiest house on the block. I want the biggest house on the block also. Because I wanted to show that I'm better than the rest of them. But see, it's mentality like that that's causing us to lose out on life eternal. That kind of attitude is exactly what will cause us to miss heaven is our home. All we really need, a place to stay, clothes to cover our nakedness, and food enough to eat. And the Lord Jesus Christ to get us through this life. And it doesn't matter how many years God will give us here. When you put that up beside eternity at just a blink of an eye. Most will never see 75 years of age. Well, right now, our lifespan don't reach 75. Didn't know that, did you? But it don't. Now, I've been greatly blessed. I'm well over that now. Way over that. But as far as knowing how much longer God is going to leave me here and use me, I don't know. But I do know one thing. I better be ready to go. And we all need to be ready to step out of this life, but we don't know when God's going to call us. We don't know what he planned for your life when you come into this world. But the day you was born, God already knew what he had planned for you. Now, he's gave you a choice, and you can choose to either go along with his plan, or you can go along with the ways of this world and Satan and his plan. That's your choice. But if you will choose the Lord Jesus Christ and walk with him, God just may have a long, prosperous life for you. He did for a lot of them. Was all of them's life easy? No. Moses was 120 years old and was still leading people through the wilderness. and he done something he shouldn't have done, and God wouldn't let him go into the promised land. We know he went to heaven because he was seen on the Mount of Transfiguration. But he didn't get to see the promised land. And to you and I, what he did was really, in our eyes, been a very small thing. We wouldn't have thought nothing about it. God told him to take his staff and touch that rock to get water out of it. But he took his staff and hit that rock. He got the water, but he didn't get to go into the promised land. We need to make sure that we are walking our life and living each and every moment of our life as God guides us, or we're not going to be ready. And we are in the last days of time. We don't know exactly when he's coming, but we do know that it's not as far off as what mankind would like to believe. And we are, if you are paying any attention at all to things that are going on now, you can't miss the fact that it's close. It can be in my generation. Well, if it is, it's real close. My generation just about gone. No man knows the time, and we're told that. But we are told that we know that it'll be close. We know that when we see these certain things happen that's in the Word of God, he said, look up because your redemption draweth nigh, even at hand. And we're warned to be ready. Most are like me. We all have family members that are lost. We say we love them, but are we really doing everything we can do to get them in church, get them saved, get them to where they are hearing the word of Almighty God as it is written in the book, and not from some of this weak, watered-down teaching? But teaching that will tell it like it is? Because that's the only way we're going to get it done. That weak, watered-down teaching ain't going to get them saved. Get them in trouble. It won't get them saved. I had picked for tonight my scripture from Mark 11. And then I thought the Lord was going to change it on me. But here we find the triumphant, as they call it, the triumphant entry into Jerusalem by the Lord Jesus Christ. Beginning here with the first verse. And when they came nigh to Jerusalem, unto Bethphage and Bethany and at the Mount of Olives, he sendeth forth two of his disciples and saith unto them, go your way into the village over against you, and as soon as you be entered into it, you shall find a colt tied whereupon never man set. Loose him and bring him. And if any man say unto you, why do ye this? Say ye that the Lord has need of him, and straightway he will send him hither. And they went their way and found the colt tied by the door without and in a place where two ways met, and they loosed him. And certain of them that stood there said unto them, What do ye, loosing the colt? And they said unto them, Even as Jesus had commanded, and they let them go. And they brought the colt to Jesus and cast their garments on him, and he sat upon him. And many spread their garments in the way, and others cut down branches off of the trees and strode them in the way. And they that went before and they that followed cried, saying, Hosanna, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Blessed be the kingdom of our father David that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. And Jesus entered into Jerusalem and into the temple. And when he had looked around about upon all things, and now the evening tide was come, he went out into Bethany with the 12. We'll ask the Lord to bless the reading of this part of reading of his word. And we do so in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. All right. But what we see here, and what most has never paid any attention to, as we read this, we know he's asked for this colt. He said to his disciples, told them where was that and everything. But most just thinks, well, the man that owned it, let him have it, you know. But you don't stop thinking. He was sending for a colt that had never been rode. How would you like to get on that colt? One that had never been rode. You know what happened, don't you? You'd be in for a tussle. You better be a pretty good cowboy if you're going to stay there. But that's exactly what he was sending for. It tells you right there in that second verse. And said unto them, Go your way into the village over against you, and as soon as you be entered into it, you shall find a colt tied, whereon never man sat. No man had ever been on this one. Loose him and bring him. Even the animal is going to obey him. Because he's going to ride that animal into Jerusalem. And he didn't say anything about that animal throwing a fit either about it. We need to stop and remember today that we serve a God that can do anything. And that's why we're seeing nothing done, is because we have gotten to the point that mankind has forgot to put their trust and their belief in him and his word and his promises. In fact, most would say, all that don't happen today. Well, they're telling you about half truth. It don't happen today. But it ain't because the Lord don't want it to happen. And it's not because he won't do it. He's already done it. He's already gave it. It's because we won't accept it. You say, well now, Pastor, you're a good one. Your wife's in the nursing home right now in rehab, yeah? She is. But I also know that the good Lord is working on her right now. And I'm going in every day, seeing improvement in her every day when I go. Now, he'll bring her out of this in his time. Not mine, but his time. But I know he's going to bring her out of it. He's going to bring her through it. And I'm seeing her come more clear every day. They don't even give me much time with her. The only place left in this county right here where we are living to where you still got to wear a mask to get in. Your restaurants now, you don't have to wear a mask no more. You don't have to wear a mask to go anywhere except nursing home. And you've got to wear that mask and you've got to stay 6 feet away. It don't matter whether it's your wife or who they are. You can't walk up and hug them. Because if you do, they won't let you back in. And the doors, they keep the doors locked, so you sure can't get in without them letting you in. But we need to wake up and remember that we are serving a God that can take an animal that's never been rode, put a blanket on his back, and ride it into Jerusalem without it giving a fuss. And people even tore branches and things down and throwed in the pathway for this animal to even walk on going in. That would have been enough to scare most animals and cause them to throw a fit. People throwing branches down in front of them while they're trying to go forward. But we lose track of so much anymore. Now, verse 4 says, they went their way and found the colt tied by the door without in a place where two ways met, and they loosed him. And certain of them that stood there said unto them, what do ye loosing the colt? See, they done exactly what God told his disciples they was going to do. Asked them, what are you doing loosening that colt? Like they were stealing it. But, here in 6, and they said unto them, even as Jesus had commanded, and they let them go, just as Jesus told them they would do. They gave them the answer Jesus told them to give them, and they let them have him. And they brought the colt to Jesus and cast their garments on him, and he sat upon him. A colt that had never been rode. And here Jesus is sitting on him. And many spread their garments in the way. And others cut down branches off of the trees and strode them in the way, making a pathway, greeting him as he goes in to the city of Jerusalem. And they that went before and they that followed cried, saying, Hosanna, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. How many times today have you said, even thank you, God, for this day? Thank you, Lord, for what you have given me this day. Thank you, God, for waking me up this morning. Thank you, God, for letting me live this long through this day. Thank you, God, for my family. Thank you, God, for my friends. Praise the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. How many have done that today? Not many. Not many, though. And we're seeing fewer every day. Now, 10, blessed be the kingdom of our father David that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. And Jesus entered into Jerusalem and into the temple. And when he had looked around about upon all things, and now the evening time was come, he went out unto Bethany with the 12. He went out into Bethany with the 12. Now they're into Jerusalem now. we're going to find Jesus getting into more trouble. Think about that. We think we get into trouble? So far, we haven't got into any kind of trouble like he got into. But also, look at the things he has done. Now here in verse 12, and on the morrow when they were come from Bethany, he was hungry. Now the Lord's hungry. And seeing a fig tree afar off, having leaves, he came, and if haply he might find anything thereon, and he, when he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for the time of the figs was not yet. Wasn't time for the figs on that tree. But because it didn't have figs on it, Jesus is going to use it now for an example. And Jesus answered and said unto it, no man eat fruit of thee hereafter forever. And his disciples heard it. Fig tree, your time is up. It's over. Nobody going to eat your fruit no more. He's using it as an example. And as we go on here now, we find he's not done yet. Here in 15, and they came to Jerusalem, and Jesus went into the temple and began to cast out them that sold and bought in the temple, and overthrew the tables of the money changers and the seats of them that sold doves. And I'm gonna share something with you right now. Tonight, all of you that can, we've got a station that's supposed to be a Christian station. It's 24 hours a day, day and night. On it. At my house, it's channel 280, 280. And more than half of the stations that is on that spend their time, instead of teaching and preaching the Word of God, they're on there selling something to get money in, because they want money. They sell everything from books to generators. And always, we know what he thinks of it. We got it right here in front of us. He done run a lot of them out of the temple, turned their tables over. And he goes on here in 17. And he taught, saying unto them, is it not written, my house shall be called of all nations the house of prayer? But you have made it a den of thieves. Because they had made it a marketplace instead of a place of worship. And we're seeing so much of that today. And the scribes and the chief priests heard it and sought how they might destroy him. You know, I told you he was getting ready to get in trouble. Well, over these couple of things he's done so far here, they're already trying to figure out how they can destroy him. For they feared him because all the people were astonished at his doctrine. When you go to preaching this word as it is written and standing on it, people are afraid of you. And then they start lying on you, lying about you, mocking you, ridiculing you, and doing everything they can do and come up with to put you out of business. And when evening was come, he went out of the city. Now he's out of the city, see. Now he's over that. But here's where that fig tree lesson comes in handy. Here in verse 20. And in the morning as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. This fig tree that Jesus had cursed. Now his disciples see it. It's already dried up. Dried up overnight. And Peter, calling to remembrance, saith unto him, Master, behold, the fig tree which thou cursedest is withered away. Oh, but listen to how Jesus answers him. And Jesus answering saith unto them, Have faith in God. For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, Be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Now, why is it that we need anything? Why do we need things? Just been told that whatsoever we say we can have. But how do we get it? That's where we're missing out. He also told us how we could get it. But shall believe, shall not doubt in his heart. You can't have any doubt at all. But shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass. You've got to believe it. Just as I've told you. God is bringing my wife out of this. He's healing her. I have no doubt about that whatsoever. That has been spoken to being. Jesus gave it to us hundreds and thousands of years ago. He told us, he said, by my stripes you were healed. God still is here this evening. Whatsoever we say we can have it if we believe it. But you've got to believe it. And that's why we don't have. Because it gets hard to carry that faith. Because the moment you speak something into being, Satan is right there. Satan is going to be right there and start talking to your mind. Oh, you can't have that. You ain't worthy of that. The Lord, he'd do it for somebody else. But he's not going to do that for you. Just what makes you think he'd do that for you? Bring it down. We let him in. Then that doubt gets into the heart. And when it gets there, everything is over. It's all undone. You see, we can't let Satan run us. But we do. in a lot of things. And one is just like what I'm going through now. I asked God to heal my wife. And I started thanking him for it. You know, one of the first things I faced was my mind telling me. Now, you remember the woman that was healed in the Bible just by the touch of his garment? She was healed and made whole right there. So why is your wife already healed? Started up there in my mind. I had to go back to God. The Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, get Satan and this demon out of my mind. I know that's where it's coming from. I don't know why you are operating like you are. I know you are at work. I know that you are working right now as a healer. And you do it at your pace and at your time. Next time I seen her, she looked better. The next day that I went back, she looked better. But I had to get Satan out of my mind. I've got no doubt. Why the Lord works like he does, we don't know. He has his own plans. We just know he works. It may be. This has been going on with her for 2 years. And all the things that has happened during the time that she's got no memory of any of it. To bring all of that back on her at one time, what would it do to her? We don't know. But see, God does. So he'll bring it back like he wants to bring it back. His time and his way. I just thank him every day that he's bringing it back. And every day I'm seeing her look better. And I'm seeing things change. It had been 3 weeks since she had eaten anything. Just getting boosts and stuff that way down. I got there today, and one of the first things I was told, we got a good meal down here today. God's at work. That's why we're told we need patience. And we need faith with that patience. We need trust with that patience. And the love of Almighty God with it. To keep things going. Now, 18. And the scribes and chief priests heard it and sought how they might destroy him. For they feared him because all the people was astonished at his doctrine. And when evening was come, he went out of the city. And you know, this is the second place here so far in this chapter that they spoke about his doctrine. And when you will talk to people, to friends and family, and you want to talk to them about the Lord, one of the first things they will ask you, well, what's your doctrine? What doctrine are you? I'm asked that all the time. Well, now, Pastor Tony, what doctrine do you teach? I don't teach a doctrine. I teach you the Bible. But if you just got to pin it down and you want a name, I can give you a name. I preach the apostles' doctrine. That's what the Bible is. It tells you so. And it tells you, if I come preaching any other doctrine than that, then I am cursed. That's why I'm not going to preach nothing else except this. Now, we've got a denomination out there that's going by that name, the Apostles' Doctrine. We got churches out there with that name, the Apostles' Doctrine churches. They ain't this. That's why I tell them I preach the Bible. I preach the Bible. Now, and in the morning, as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. And Peter, calling to remembrance, saith unto him, and he tells Jesus about it. And Jesus tells him to have faith in God. And he goes on. For verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed. We've been through all of that. He goes on to tell them that whatsoever things that they would desire and all and pray for, and they can pray in believing, standing firm on it and believing, they can have. He goes on 25 and he says, when you stand praying forgiving, if you have aught against any, that your Father also which is in heaven may forgive you your trespasses. We're to forgive anyone that's done anything to us, no matter what it is. And that can be hard to do, because human beings, somebody does something to us, the first thing that will pop into our minds, what can I do to get even with them? That ain't what it's supposed to be. I ain't supposed to be getting even with him. I'm supposed to be praying for him. I am to forgive him. Because more than likely, what he done against me was nothing what I done against the Lord Jesus Christ back before he forgave me. He's also told me now, if I can't, I'm a child of God and I can't forgive someone that's done something to me, then he's not going to forgive me when I need it. Think about it. We got some things going on out front. Pardon me. They went on finally. Now, we come on down here now. Verse 27. And they come again to Jerusalem, and as he's walking in the temple, there come to him the chief priests and the scribes and elders, and say to him, by what authority dost thou these things, and who gave thee this authority to do these things? Now they're questioning the Lord Jesus Christ now about the things he was doing. Well, no, just who gave you this authority? And 29, and Jesus answered and said unto them, I will also ask of you one question, and answer me, and I will tell you by what authority I do these things. I'm going to ask you this question. If you'll answer it, then I'll tell you by what authority I do these things. Because he knew they wasn't going to answer him. The baptism of John, was it from heaven or of men? Answer me. That's what Jesus asked them. And they reasoned with themselves, saying, if we shall say from heaven, he will say, why then did you not believe him? This is the way man reasons things out. But if we shall say of men, they feared the people, for all men counted John that he was a prophet indeed. So they was afraid to answer either way. Now, and yet they could have answered that first way, and it would have been true. But they was afraid of it. And they answered and said unto Jesus, we cannot tell. And Jesus answering saith unto them, neither do I tell you by what authority I do these things. You won't tell me, I'm not going to tell you. We are to walk straight with the Lord Jesus Christ. We are to walk upright always, all the time, not part of the time, not just certain days on church days, not just at church time, but we are to walk with the Lord Jesus Christ 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, or 365 days a year. We're to walk with him continually if we are to make heaven our home. We are to be desiring his word, wanting his word in us and our life, living according to that word more than anything else in this world or this life. And that's the only way that we're going to be able to make heaven our home. Think about that. Try to live any other way, we'll never make it. But that's why you see so few in church today. I haven't got the time. I've got other things to do out here. I've got children that's, oh, they've got extra things to do after school. They've got football. They've got basketball. They've got softball. Put everything before God. And that's why we're in the shape we're in today. Our churches let Satan creep in with all of this stuff and bring it into our churches through mankind, and took the power out of the church. And we're not the first church to let it happen. They were churches back in the days that they was first founding the churches. They've done the same thing. They let that group of Jews that followed Paul all around, they let them come into church and cause trouble. So they'd follow Paul, and Paul would leave to go somewhere else, and they'd come in. Well, you can't believe nothing Paul says. He's all wrong. Everything is wrong. You've got to live by the law. You want to bring them right back under the law. And when you come right down to it, that's exactly what's happening today. Our churches are trying to put us back under the law. These churches that are telling you that you can't live your life without sin, that you're just going to commit the same old sin over and over again. That's exactly what you're doing. They're taking you back under the law. That's what the law had. Because law couldn't do away with it. But Jesus, when he came, he done away with it. He fulfilled it. And he made a way that you and I could live without that. He covered it up with his blood. He took those sins, and as the scripture says, put them in the river of forgetfulness. And we are to turn away from them and walk upright. And then we can make heaven our home. Let us pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, once again, as we come to a close and we close your word, Father, we thank you for your word. Father, we thank you for the Holy Spirit and the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, we thank you for a place that we can come together, Father, to share your word, to grow in strength of faith, to grow closer to the Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, your saints, wherever they are in the world, we know that they're scattered everywhere, Father. And we know that there are some that are walking in places to where if they're found and caught, it will mean imprisonment and death. We ask the Holy Spirit to keep them safe, keep them in health, and see to their needs. For Jerusalem and Israel, Father, we pray for peace for them, because we know, Father, that right now they have very little peace. But even more than that, Father, we pray for them to accept the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, as their Messiah, as their King of Kings and Lord of Lords, so that one day, Father, they will be ready when he returns for his church. Now, Father, for this land of ours, a land that without any excuse took the Lord Jesus out of every place he was in to do away with him, closed down our churches, standing against them, standing against your people. Help us, Father, to remove those that are in our offices that's against the church, against the Lord Jesus Christ, that's against the Christian. And help us to replace them with those that will stand for the church, for Jesus. And help us to put our government back upon the foundation in which it was founded, and that being back upon your word and the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, Father, our prayer list this evening. As each name is called, may the Holy Spirit touch that one to fulfill whatever need they have, whether it be spiritual, physical, or financial. Kenny Powers, Mark Pavlik, Amy, Tom, Amy's husband, their young son, Jacob, Terry Colts, Dennis Breed and his wife, Tina, the Brothers in Christ there in Brandenburg, the Glory Bound Church of Irvington, Pastor Randy Johnson, Church of God of Brandenburg, for the Meade County General Baptist Church, the pastors there, Pastor Don Hilton, Pastor Alan Thomas, Pastor Tony Galladay. Father, these churches, we pray that they become lighthouses to the community which they stand. And these pastors, Father, we pray for them to be filled overflowing with the Holy Spirit to keep these churches along the pathway of righteousness. For this young man, Will, that was ordained into the ministry, I pray, Father, that his teacher has been the Holy Spirit, that he is the minister you want him to be. Pastor Eric and his wife, Jackie, Father, you know what is needed there. And that little Full Gospel Church of God at Akron, Father, we pray that you can find one to put there, Father, that will fill it to overflowing with the Holy Spirit, to make a place of refuge out of it, to where the lost walking in darkness can go and find light, and that light being Jesus. For my young pastor friend in Pakistan, Maroon Islam, Father, for Brett Mishai, and for Zephyrin Iron, Father, these all are walking in places that is at risk, in danger of being imprisoned or killed. Keep them, Father, in the hollow of your hand. Keep them safe. Keep them in health. And see to their needs. For the Johnson family, for the Lee family, for the Branson family, for my family, my wife's family, and for each family, Father, that will hear this message. May it spread throughout those families. And may the Holy Spirit work with those families, Father, and work with those that are walking in darkness to lead them out of darkness and into light, and that light being Jesus, so that none be lost and all will be able to find their way into heaven. Jimmy Emery, Sharon Mombillo, and her mother, for Sue, for Palance, for Casey Smith, for Kelly Smith and his wife, for Henry Craycroft. Father, for Karen, for my wife, continue with thy healing hand, Father. We thank you for that healing power. We thank you that it is at work and that they are being healed. They are being touched. They are being led in your will and your way. Thank you for this, Father. And we give this thanks all in Jesus' name. Now, Father, this church is yours. I ask, Father, that you do with it what you want done. Use me, Father. Use me in great and mighty ways, not to lift me up, but to lift up the Lord Jesus Christ. In his name I pray. Amen. And God bless. All right, everyone, remember now, come Sunday morning at 11 a.m., we can all be together again and back into the Word of God. So until then, walk with God, he'll walk with you. Good night now.